I want you to imagine for a second that you need to sum up your life in just one sentence. And it can't be compound. Like, it's got to be like a straightforward sentence. How would you want that sentence to read? Now, I'm going to be very honest. I've been thinking about it for a few days now. And the reality is haven't been able to come up with anything. However, I have come up with an example of a one-sentence summary of someone's life, and that's the life of Nephi. If we look at the very last verse of 2 Nephi, so it would have been the very last thing that Nephi wrote, I think that the second half of this verse really summarizes his life. Let's take a look at it. So we're in 2 Nephi 33, verse 15. For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. And remember, I said it's the second half. For thus the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. The Lord commands, and Nephi obeys. I think that summarizes his life, doesn't it? I mean, his obedience or examples of his obedience includes leaving Jerusalem with his father Lehi, going back to get the plates, slaying Laban on his own, then going back to get Ishmael's family, and then he gets all tied up and everything. He follows Lehi into the wilderness. He builds a boat without knowing anything about how to build a boat, let alone having the tools. He breaks a bow and builds a bow. He goes to the promised land. He separates from his sibling. He builds a temple. He leads his people physically and spiritually and so forth. Which, as I've contemplated this time reading and studying the Book of Mormon, part of me is asking how much of it was just Nephi, like this is just who Nephi is, in contrast to how much of it was because he loved the Lord so much. In fact, as I am sitting here talking with you, I would hope that somewhere in my sentence it would read, and she loved the Lord. That's how I want it to end. She loved the Lord. There's something else on the front end. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's something. And she loved the Lord. So we're at the point where Nephi, he is waxing old. He knows he's about to pass. He's about to give the leadership to his brother Jacob. And in his last few chapters, he gives a lot of really powerful counsel. And today, I just want to highlight with you four pieces of counsel that Nephi gives. And as I look at these pieces of counsel, I think to myself, these are words to live by. Like if you and I could really master these four things, we'd be following almost everything that I can think of in my adult life that has been spoken about in a general conference. And I'm not even joking. Like I think we could surmise most of it into these four things. Here we go. Here's the first one. The first one is found in 2 Nephi 31, verses 12 and then 9 through 11. I'm doing some reverse reading again. But before I jump in there, I want you to actually pause the podcast and see if you can recite from memory the fourth article of faith. It starts with, we believe. You got to get past that. Okay, what if I say this? What if I say, we believe the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are? Guys, I wish you could see Cammie right now. Her brain is going like, I know the answer. She does. And I do. And hopefully you do. So pause. Welcome back. Okay, hopefully you got that the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. Fourth, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you have to know it took everything I had to not sing that. I wanted, fourth, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay. So we've got this fourth article of faith. Now, I wanted that in your head because of this piece of final counsel from Nephi. Again, there's more than these four, but these four, I really think if we could get this figured out. Here we go. Here's the piece of counsel. We're starting in verse number 12. Also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which ye have seen me do. Pretty straightforward invitation. follow Christ and do what he did. What did he just highlight? We'll be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're going to jump back up to verse number 9. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. Christ was baptized to set an example for you and I, giving us the gate that we've got to enter into. Well, what is that gate? Verse 10, he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? So following Christ, I've got to keep the commandments. Why? Well, because Christ kept every commandment. He's a dude that didn't need to be baptized because he didn't need a remission of sin because he lived a perfect life and he was still baptized. Why? Well, because he needed the ordinance and to set the example of the ordinance to what? To open the gate to get us in to our Heavenly Father's presence. That's what this is all about. 11, and the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. Why? Well, so that I can, verse 12 again. And also the voice came unto me saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the gift of the Holy Ghost. So did you catch what these steps are? Do you see why I said, what is the fourth article of faith? Well, because the first principles and ordinance of the gospel are faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's that? Well, the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter. He having set the example. Do you have faith that he set the example? He just invited you to follow him and follow him by what? Repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son so that you can get the Holy Ghost. Many of us have this. We've done this fourth article of faith in the aspect of we have taking the steps to enter into the waters of baptism. But can I invite you to actually live the fourth article of faith? Anybody saying, okay, hold up, Candace, what does it mean to live the fourth article of faith? Well, remember, the first principles and orders are first faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have faith in Christ. Will you consistently repent on a daily basis? And you're saying, yeah, but I've already been baptized in the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so we renew our baptismal covenant once a week. Where? In sacrament meeting. Now, I don't know about you, but I need the atonement. And I actually made some choices recently that I was even I surprised myself at a couple of the choices that I made. I was like, hold up. I need to quickly go to the sacrament. Because I have offended the Lord. I actually offended myself. I was like, whoa, did I really just... That's a new mistake for me. And in the process of all of this, we get to the point where hopefully we're repeating these steps over and over, that we're exercising faith, that we're repenting and renewing that baptismal covenant so that every week we leave sacrament clean. So we live the fourth article of faith. Commit it to memory, live that bad boy. Because as you're living it, then you're prepared for this next piece of advice that Nephi tries to distill on us. Still here in chapter 31. Just really great advice in chapter 31. And if we jump over to verses 15 through 20, we get this piece of advice. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. Now here's the action. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Pretty straightforward. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. So we get this concept of endure. And we get invited to endure and follow. When I think of the concept of endure, I'm going to be very, probably a little bit, maybe it might be TMI or over vulnerable, but when I think of somebody that really understood this concept, I'm going to be very candid. It's my mom. My mom was great at enduring things, particularly at the time of her cancer. Not to mention she had to endure the 8 of us and our choices and the different things that we did. And so here she's enduring, right? And keeping faithful and following the Savior. She passed away in October, and the June before she passed away, she received a priesthood blessing. And I know I've alluded to this before, but in the priesthood blessing, she was told that she had completed her mission. I would love to know that I had completed my mission. And then she was promised that her life would be prolonged until we as a family had learned what we needed to learn from her experience. So again, she was told that she needed to endure. Now, often when we think of enduring, we think of it as like this, like, okay, I'm just holding on until the storm passes. I love that Elder Renland taught this at a BYU devotional back in September of 21. He said this, quote, "Enduring to the end is not a separate step in the doctrine of Christ, as though we complete the first four steps and then hunker down, grit our teeth, and wait to die. No, enduring to the end is actively and intentionally repeating the steps," close quote. I'm going to read that again because that is something else. "Enduring to the end is not a separate step in the doctrine of Christ, as though we complete the first four steps and then hunker down, grit our teeth, and wait to die." I love that visual because my mother did not hunker down and wait to die. That woman was involved in anything she possibly could be. She was calling her children. She was waving to her grandchildren out the front door because they weren't allowed in because she was not really well, particularly there at the end. And the woman like was doing everything she possibly can. Well, then what's interesting here is he says, what? No, enduring to the end is actively and intentionally repeating the steps. One of the most prized moments of my final hours with my mother was actually probably, 8 hours before she died. It was the Saturday evening. I was left alone with her. My dad had left to go grab something and he was going to come back. And as we were sitting there talking, two elderly gentlemen walked in the room. Well, they knocked on the door and they walked in the room and one of them introduced himself and he said, "We will be bringing the sacrament around tomorrow. Would you like to have the sacrament brought to your room?" To which my mother immediately said, "Of course." I appreciate that example of intentionally repeating the steps. Here's a woman who literally has not gotten out of bed for like a week, has had major surgery, part of her colon removed, all kinds of crazy stuff happening, and is like, "Yeah, I totally still need the sacrament." She understood the steps. Why? Well, because she understood and was living visually what Nephi teaches here in verse number 17. He says, what? Well, wherefore do the things which I have told you, I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. As I read this verse, the thing that came to my mind actually was the directions on the shampoo bottle. Now you may be thinking, wait, there's directions on how to use shampoo. I don't know if any of you have taken the time to read them, but I love that often the directions in shampoo are also in French. One of the gentlemen that I taught with my very first couple of years, he wanted to impress his wife. And so he memorized the directions on the shampoo bottle and he saved it for one night when they were out to dinner and he reached over and he took her hand and he called her by name. And then after saying her name, he then said, literally, he said to her, "Wet, lather, rinse, wash, repeat," in French. And she said, "Oh, that is so beautiful. What did you just say?" And he said, "I just told you how to wash your hair." But isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Aren't we supposed to wet, lather, rinse, wash, repeat? What does he say? "For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins and fire by the Holy Ghost," because we believe that the first four principles and ordinances are, but you and I have to do what's the action? 18. "And then are they in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. You've done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. You've received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promises which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, you should receive." So my friends, will you follow the example of my mom and the example that I am desperately trying to follow? Will you endure? Now remember, enduring is not just hunkering down and waiting. It's actively living the gospel. And what are those main principles that we've got to be sure that we're living? Well, we've got to make sure that we are doing well. Well, that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're repenting, and that we're renewing our baptism covenant so that we can qualify for the Spirit. Because really, why is that such a big deal? Well, hello, 2 Nephi 32:5. And in 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse number 5, we find, "For behold, again, I say unto you," I love this counsel, get ready, "that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all the things what ye should do." Now, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times I don't know what I should do. In fact, recently, I don't even know why I was on Instagram. It was for something. But I was on Instagram, and I saw something called the I Don't Know Prayer. And it made me stop. Because I'm like, an I don't know prayer? What is this? And it was one of those posts where you have to like scroll from the page to page. And it said, "Do you ever have a time in your life when you just don't know?" And I thought, 100%, that is me. So I scrolled to the next one and it said, "Find a place where you can go that is quiet and alone and begin a prayer where you say, God, I don't know." And then it scrolled to the next page and the next page to something like, "I don't know what I need to do now. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know where it is that you want me. I don't know." And it had like all of these, I don't know, like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And the last screen, it was powerful for me because the very last screen said, "But I do know that you know. Will you guide me today? I do know that you know. Will you guide me today? For behold, again, I say unto you that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things," not just some of them, "all things what you should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. And there will be no more doctrine given after that. He shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do." My fine friends, he doesn't want you to feel lost. He doesn't want you to feel hopeless. And he definitely doesn't want you to feel like you have no direction. He is consistently pointing you in direction. I have found that when I feel like I have the least amount of direction, it's because I am focusing on the most finite view. I'm going to say that again. When I personally have the least amount of direction, it's because I am laser focused in on the most finite view. I am so stuck on what's happening right now instead of what's happening in the broader picture. If you listen to last week's, I find that I'm not yolfing like I should. So here he is saying, okay, I love this advice, Nephi. He's saying, what? Live the fourth article of faith. Endure. That's right. I need you to wet, lather, rinse, wash, repeat. And do what? Will take the Spirit as your guide. That's some pretty basic, straightforward helps. But if you think about the most recent general conference and the one that's pending, you know that these same themes are going to emerge in conference. You know it is. Well, what's super crazy is then this next piece of advice. This kills me because you would think that we'd get this figured out. 2 Nephi 32, verses 8 and 9. Here we go. "And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that you ponder still in your hearts." Listen to what this prophet says. "And it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing." So he says, this makes me so sad that I have to talk to you. You are thinking about this. I've got to talk to you about what? "For if you would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray." Pretty straightforward. Pray. "The evil spirit teaches a man not to pray, but he teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always, and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place that you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So what does he want you to do? He wants you and I to pray. Well, why is it so important to pray always? I love that he uses that, pray always, because of Doctrine and Covenants 10:5. Hello, I know you knew that. You knew that. Doctrine and Covenants 10:5, which says what? Well, it says, pray always that you may come off conqueror, yea, that you may conquer Satan, and that you may escape the hands of the servants of Satan that do uphold his word. Why do I need to pray? Well, because if I'm not praying, guess what? I'm saying Satan and I really can be my BFF. And if you need to know more about how he's trying to be your BFF, again, I refer you to last week's podcast. So why is Nephi giving us this type of counsel, really? Why does it matter to him? Now, I told you that this was probably going to be a little TMI. But on October 2nd, 1999, I had a conversation with my mom. I had gone home. It was the weekend of General Conference. And we had watched some sessions of General Conference there in the hospital together. As we had watched these sessions, after they ended, she said, "Will you read the Book of Mormon to me?" Remember, I've mentioned that she always had a copy of a Book of Mormon that was in her to-go bag. And so I pulled out her copy of the Book of Mormon, and I opened up to 2 Nephi chapter 33. And I just began reading, because I had read the scriptures to her multiple times. And so as I read along, I began just, you know, reading away. And then all of a sudden, I got over to verse number 10, and I don't know what happened, but something changed dramatically. Verse 10. "And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if you believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye shall believe these words, for they are the words of Christ. And he hath given them unto me. And they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar, and you shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things." As soon as I read that verse, I looked up from the scriptures and I looked at my mom, who very candidly I knew she was dying, and I said, "Mom, did you get what that just said?" And she looked at me and said, "What?" And I said, "Did you get what that verse just said? It says, you and I will stand face to face." That's saying Nephi and you or me, we're going to be face to face with Nephi in front of Christ. And we're going to know that he was commanded of Christ to write these things. And then I looked at her and I said, "Mom, what are you going to say when you see Nephi?" And she pondered for a minute. And I could tell she was thinking quite intently. And then she responded and said, "That's a really great question. I better get prepared." For nearly 25 years, I have been preparing my response for that question. And I will continue preparing my response for that question. Now, I'm confident that when we stand face to face with Nephi and the Savior, he is not looking for the book report version. "I really like the part about the boat. Where did all the blood go when you cut off Laban's head? Did it not get on the cloak?" No, that's not what he's looking for. He wants to know, was it worth it? Was his sacrifice and his example of obedience worth it? See, as we wrap up the first and second book of Nephi, and we're about to say goodbye to Nephi here in the first part of Jacob, may I invite you to prepare to meet Nephi? Will you go and consistently prepare to meet him by taking some of his final counsels of praying always, of taking the Spirit as your guide, of enduring to the end, and actually living the fourth article of faith? Having faith in Christ, repenting, and renewing your baptismal covenant. Remember, wet, lather, rinse, repeat. I know that as we take Nephi's counsel, we will be prepared to answer his questions about the book. May you prepare to meet him, is my hope. Have a fantastic week. Take care. The Go and Do podcast is created by me, Candace Shoup, and edited and produced by Cami Fisher. We'd absolutely love it if you would take the time to follow us where you listen to your podcasts, along with download. And if you like what you're listening to, please leave us a review. We also invite you to follow us on Instagram at Go and Do Podcast. And if you want to talk to me personally, feel free to email thegoanddopodcast@gmail.com. Remember, friends, to have a good time, don't be a good time. Let's go and do.